And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect, is another way to translate that word, the Lord's glory, are being transformed in his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And the part of this verse that I really want us to kind of tunnel in on here and focus is the last part where it says, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The title for the teaching this weekend is In His Image. As men, we wrestle with the question, what is a man, our whole life. For most of us, when we were little boys, our father was most likely the first image that we sought to pattern our life after. And then as we grew older, our choices of images to assume and imitate expanded and they changed. Our role models may have included an older brother, a grandfather, a teacher, a friend, a peer group, a famous athlete, a rock star, a character from a book or a movie or a TV show. And how do we discover what a man is supposed to be and who we are to imitate and pattern ourselves after? Our culture is constantly trying to create us in its image through TV, movies, sports, politics, social media, books, and so forth. And I think we would agree that culture's efforts have created more confusion and raised more questions than providing answers and direction for us. The Bible tells us that we've been created in the image of God. And it's his image that we want to seek to conform our life to. This weekend, we're going to do a series of Bible studies looking at this image that we have been created in, which we are to imitate and model. That's kind of the big picture thing. In Genesis chapter 1, after a general description of God creating the various elements of the heavens and the earth, the story turns to the creating of human beings as the centerpiece or the culmination of God's creation on this planet. Everything in the story leads to this moment. Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is a break in the rhythm of the creation story. For everything leading up to this point, God says, let something happen or let something come into being. And then now it's as if God pauses and he says, I've made everything ready. It's now time to bring forth the ones that all of this has been created for. The rest of creation was brought into life at the spoken word of God. Human beings are brought to life through the breath of God. Genesis 2:7 tells us that God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. There's a picture of intimate involvement by God described here. There's no direct contact between God and the rest of the creation when he makes it. He speaks the words and things come forth. But when it comes to us, he involves himself on an intimate personal level, breathing his breath into us. God breathing into us also points out our unique nature. We're both physical and spiritual. We were formed from the ground that tied us to the earth, and God breathes his breath into us, tying us to him spiritually. Glenn Scorgi wrote, "We humans are cosmic amphibians. We stand astride the seen and the unseen. We are in-betweeners. in a sense. God created us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to know him personally. He said, let us make mankind in our image. The Egyptians and the other pagan peoples of the time when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, they made gods for themselves in their own image. They made gods in their own image. Their gods looked like people and animals. In fact, this same Hebrew word that's translated image is translated idol in other places of the Bible when the context is talking about the gods that people make for themselves. The real and true God tells us that he has made us in his image rather than the other way around. Humans are unique among all the creatures on this planet. We are the only ones said to be created in God's image. And as we noted a moment ago, one of the things it means is God has made us uniquely capable of having a relationship with him. But there's more to it than just that. The Hebrew word translated image means image, likeness, replica, figure, statue, expression, representation, model. So as you can see, this word can have a wide range of meanings depending on the context and how it's used. But the basic idea is this: being like something or a reflection of something. In the case of us being made in the image of God, it means being like God, a reflection of God, an expression of God, a representation of God. Now, to help us get our head around what it means to be created in the image of God, Hebrews 1:3 says this about Jesus Christ. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The word translated representation, it means image, reflection, expression. Jesus Christ is the perfect, exact, flawless, most complete image of God in all of existence. Jesus is the perfect image of God in human form. Now, we've been created in the image of God, but when humanity fell, that image was damaged and it was diminished. Our sin has marred the image of God. But now, as redeemed people in Christ, we're to pursue that perfect image, seeking to imitate Jesus, to be like him in character, to reflect him in our thinking and our behavior. We're to live out his image. So pulling all of this together then, when we say we've been created in the image of God, it means we have been uniquely made to have a personal relationship with him, and it means that we have been uniquely made to reflect, express, imitate, model, represent him in our life. What is God our Father like? I mean, part of being made in the image of God means that we're to reflect, express, imitate, model, represent God with our life. Then we need to know what he's like. I mean, we need to know what he's like to know what we are aiming to be like. What image we're seeking to conform to and model with our life. So the question, what is God like? It's often answered by talking about God's attributes like he is infinite, he's unchanging, he's self-sufficient, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. And these things are all true of God. But in our Bible studies, we want to take a look at attributes of God, our Father, which are also to be our attributes. We're going to talk about aspects of God which are to also be present in us as images of God. The list of attributes that we're going to be working from is found in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now this passage of Scripture is familiar to many of us as a listing of what are known as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? A lot of you guys go, oh yeah, I know that passage. And these are indeed qualities that the Holy Spirit is growing in us as we walk in the Spirit, as Paul said, which means to follow after and imitate Jesus. Now, although this is usually seen as a description of the nature that the Holy Spirit is seeking to grow in us, this is also a description of what God our Father is like. This is His nature. These are His attributes. So using this list to describe what God our Father is like, we can say this: God is loving. God is joyful. God is peaceful. God is patient. God is kind. God is good. God is faithful. God is gentle. God is self-controlled. This is the image of God that we are to reflect in our life. You follow that? So, as Matt and Ryan and I, who are the three guys that will be doing the teaching this weekend, as we met in preparation for the retreat, and we talked about how to approach these attributes of God, which were to reflect in our lives, we thought it would be helpful to have examples of other men to point to who exemplified having or lacking these traits. So we have paired men from the Bible with each of these attributes. So here are the attributes and the men who will be used to illustrate these attributes. So we'll be looking at these attributes and also a particular character from the Bible paired with that attribute. And this is the order that we're going to take a look at these this weekend. So the first is joyful, and the person that we'll be talking about that illustrates or either exemplifies or doesn't exemplify this trait in a significant way is David. Good is Joseph. Self-control is Samson. And obviously, there's a one where he was anything but self-controlled. But see, that's part of what we'll be doing as we examine Samson. Patient, Moses. Faithful, Gideon. Kind, Boaz. Peaceful, Paul. Gentle, Barnabas. Loving, Jesus. So in closing, and just as kind of introduction, is when we, who've been created in the image of God, have these attributes present in our life, then we are reflecting, expressing, imitating, modeling, representing, imaging God.